This is the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society Leader.
Thank you. Praise be to God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the Lord Cherisher of all the worlds. We witness that He's one, the Creator of all the worlds, the heavens and the earth. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed about 14 centuries and more ago, is the seal of the prophets. It is stated of him in our holy book, the Quran, that he is the unschooled messenger prophet mentioned in the Bible, the Torah, and the Gospel, the Old Testament, what it's called now, Old Testament, and the New Testament, as one coming to lead us to purification, to take the yokes of slavery off of our backs, all forms of slavery, not just the enslavement of the physical body, but the enslavement of the human brain, the human intellect, and the enslavement of the total life that God intended for the human beings to have on this planet Earth. It is said also of the prophets of the Quran, the last revealed book to the world, it is said of him that he is not sent to be any except a mercy to all the world. A mercy to all the world. Rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy to all the world. That wonderful man that God says also of him, that surely you'll find him to be an excellent model to emulate. For any who believes in God and believes that there has to be accountable to that God one day. This is said of our Prophet Muhammad in the holy book, the last revealed book, the Quran. Prayers and peace be upon him. I didn't say those things that are common knowledge in the Muslim world, in the Muslim public, just to tell you about Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. I told you those things of him to tell you about us. We are to be also people with charity in our hearts for all people, with a desire in our hearts to help all people to the best life that God created us for. To tell you that as our prophet is given to us by God in our holy book as a mercy to the world, we who follow him must have it also in our spirit and in our heart to be a mercy to all the world. To all the world. God did not ask any less of us than he asked of the model that he established for us to emulate. Again, upon the prophet be the prayers and the peace. We're living in times of trouble, of sadness, but also in times of hope and happiness. But I am aware of the struggle of the people of faith over the centuries behind us, back to the days of Muhammad the Prophet, when he lived on this earth as a physical person and carried out his responsibility to the Almighty God. I see great progress for the religious community of the earth, even in the days of the Prophet and even in the good days of the 500 year life of Muslim rule in Spain, that witnessed Jews, intellectual Jews, and intellectual Muslims, scientific-minded Jews and scientific-minded Muslims, working together to do what the American people have done on this continent, or in this part of the world, improve material conditions in the lives of the people, improve the social conditions in the lives of the people, so that they could have al-Kawthar, the fount of abundance, or as the Christians would say, have life and have it abundantly. Abundance of good things of life. We thank God for this time, a time of trouble for families to hold themselves together, time of trouble for cities to keep civilized behavior on our streets, time for the world, troubled time for the world, to keep national borders safe, etc. But also a time of great rejoicing when we see the leaders of Islam and the leaders of Christianity and the leaders of Judaism and Buddhism and the other religions all wanting to sit down and dialogue, get to know each other better. As God says, one of the purposes for Him creating human beings with this freedom of will and freedom of life that we have is for us to get to know one another. To get to know one another. لِتَعَارَفُوا. To get to know one another. So it's a good time. It's a bad time and a good time. It's a dreadful time and a time to bright up your faces and have hope for a better future. So I call it today a small day, if not the big day, of religion. And in our religion, in our holy book, the day of religion is the day of judgment, translated the day of judgment. I believe this is a day of judgment for the whole world. For the whole world. And scriptures before Quran and the Quran tell us that this time will be a time of great trouble, great sadness, weeping, moaning, groaning, insane behavior. This is what scripture told us long, hundreds of years before it happened here. But at the same time, it will be a day of rejoicing, a great and dreadful day. Grief in all beauty and wonders that the human soul needs, and dreadful because of the extreme of insane behavior. So we fail to read the scripture, many of us, and see the whole picture that God is giving us of the last day, the day of judgment, a day of rejoicing for the people who are straight, sincere and innocent, having no bad intentions against anybody, and a dreadful day for those who are out of their human form that God created them to be in, the form that God shows us whenever we have a baby come from a new mother. There's nothing but an innocent life there. There's no Marquis de Sade. There's no Al Capone. There's no criminal born in the nursery. Nothing but innocent babies. And they come into the world of sin and become bad. I used to wonder, why do Christians believe we are born in sin? I said, I know I wasn't born in sin. I was born good. And I said, hey, they don't mean that, really. They mean we're born into a sinful world, into the sins of those who sin. But we have not created sinners. God created nothing but Muslims. The Christians will say, Christ-like people. Christ-like people. So this is a great time for us. It's a time for rejoicing. A time for us to brighten up our hope and have faith not only in God, but as Dr. Shuler says, faith also in one another. Believe in one another. Believe in mankind. We require to believe in God and to believe in His messenger. And we are required also to believe in each other. Belief in Islam comes from the word to trust. The word belief, that is translated belief, it comes from the word means to trust. And isn't that the essence of belief, faith, trust? So if you doubt, how can you have strong faith when you have strong doubt? So this is a time when we should be getting rid of our doubts that stand in the way of us believing in our God. Christians who believe in God, they should believe even strong in God today. Because so many evidences are in this present world to support us believing in God. We don't have prophets of old that speak to us and address the mysteries and address the unknowns and tell us of miracles that's too big for the perception of man to grasp in totality or to grasp totally. We don't have that kind of mind in the world anymore. The world has been changed by scientific development and scientific thinking. Our minds are not sensitive anymore to mysteries, etc., like the earlier man's mind was. Our minds now is more rational, more scientific. We have less of a tendency to look for unexplainable causes to explain what is happening and what you're seeing. But we look for explainable causes to explain what is happening and what we're seeing. So we live in a world of completely new and different sensitivities. If I was a man born 1,000 years ago, I would be pointing out to you all the great miracles of the modern world. The reason why we don't see them as miracles from God and as messages from God is because we are conditioned to see the concrete and look for all concrete explanations. But if you could become spiritually sensitive, as many of us are, and if you would believe, as some of us do, two of us do, that God is still speaking, not only through man, but through creation and through the works of man. He's still speaking to us. And he is more evident now than ever. His presence is more recognizable now than ever. This is the day, a day of judgment. I want you to know in these 2 minutes that I'll be speaking to you that just as the prophet said, it has happened. It is reported that our prophet Muhammad, who brought the Quran to the world and brought him his own model to the world, God gave him to us. It is said that he said, the sun was set on his religion, means on his community, the followers. Meaning that we will lose the pure light. We will lose the pure way. And he prophesied that the sun would come again and would rise in the west. Now some of the scholars of Islam and thinkers in this religion, they believe that that already happened when Morocco, that's in the west of that old world, it's in the west of the old world, and it's in the west now. When Morocco became a strong Islamic country, nation, and made great contributions to the development of human society. They believe that that was the rising of Islam in the West. Perhaps it was. But just as the sun sets and rises every day, I believe it's rising again in the West, where the whole Muslim world seems to be stagnated, thrown off center. In America, there are Muslims from all over the world taking advantage of this freedom we have to live our religion as we choose to live it and preach it openly as we choose to preach it. This freedom is not given to us in other places on this planet Earth. A long time ago, about 60 years ago, 65 years ago, maybe 68 years ago, a strange teaching started in Detroit, Michigan. Started by a stranger who was not an American and not black, a stranger who came and taught Elijah Poole Muhammad and Clara Edens Muhammad, my father and my mother.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad and mailed to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now back to today's broadcast.
And before I was born, influenced my life and destiny by naming me before I was born to be a helper to my father and to himself, this mysterious man that left my father with a strange language. 1933, October 30, 1933, I was born in a house on Yemen Street. Now, Yemen goes back to the Arab world. The Yemenites, not far from Saudi Arabia, Yemen, the country Yemen. And a lot of Yemen, people from Yemen had migrated from their country to Detroit. So many of them that they were able to get the street name for them that I was born on, Yemen Street. But I was raised up not to believe in anything after death. We were taught that death ended life. That was it. If you didn't get heaven on this, while you live on this earth, in this material body, you would never get it. That's the end of it. Your life is gone forever. That's what I was taught as a baby. That's the religion I was raised on. And I was taught that no spirit can do anything. That there's only one, the God is only man. That's what I was taught. Why am I telling you these things? To show you the signs of God in this life, in this time. Not to point you to me. You see how I dress? This is me. I love to work in my yard. I love to work in the meat department that we got. We started up a business. I love to make sausages. I'm a welder by trade. I miss my work because I have to work for you all. So I want you to look at me. Look at me. See me just like, see me? Here I am. This is me. I want you to know what has happened to me and what has happened to us. All right. So a boy taught that has something in him that God created all of us with, and that's a pure soul and a determination to do only what's right, to believe only what's right. And would you believe that I was taught what's wrong? Yeah, I was taught what is wrong. Taught that God was a man, couldn't be anything but man. And the same person that was over the religion, he was locked up in jail for refusing to fight in World War II, my father. He sent my mother a letter from prison, and it had Quran quote in it. And he told my mother, read this to Wallace. That's me. That's this fellow. And it says, firstly, it says, this is from the chapter of the Quran titled Luqman's Advice to His Son. And the advice says, if your parents strive to get you to believe something upon which you have no knowledge to support it, you don't have any knowledge to support it, don't follow them, don't believe them, but keep good company with them in this world. Pardon me, I left out something concerning me. If your parents strive to get you to believe something concerning me, concerning God, for which you have no knowledge base, don't obey them, don't believe them, but keep good company with them in this world. So that means continue to be a nice, obedient, respectful son to your parents. But just don't buy the lie they're trying to sell you. Now that's what he said. I don't know how old I was at the time when I received that, but I can just about guess, because he was in prison up until about 44, I think, and he had a 5-year sentence. So I couldn't have been more than 12 years old when I got that message. And I know when I had this experience, I couldn't have been no more than about 12 years old. I know because I know how old I was and where we were living, and I know how long we lived there from the history of the family at 6116 South Michigan Avenue in Chicago in a frame house that was bought from my father, who was coming out of prison. We were living in an apartment before, and the community decided to, they didn't want my father to come back to the apartment. They said, we're going to buy him a house. And they did. They struggled, poor people. They got enough money to buy this frame house at 6116 South Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And that's where I was the night when my father came down all beautifully dressed with my mother, and she was all beautifully dressed. And I was the only one in the house other than my parents at that time. And I was studying, doing my homework for the next day to go to school. And it was at night. They had temple night, like started at 8 o'clock to 10. And my father said, son, your mother and I, we got to go out to the temple tonight. And we want you to stay here. I had never been in a house alone by myself at night like that. He said, we might not be back until late. We have some business to take care of. Now, when he said that, I know it meant he's going to kick somebody. He's going to kick some A, you know. He had to go out there and kick some A, because people weren't behaving like they're supposed to behave. The officials. He had to go out there and punish some officials and maybe put some of them out of the temple. So everywhere he was going, he was going to take care of business. I knew what take care of business meant. So I said, okay, but I was a little afraid. And I didn't have the knowledge of science that I have now. So when the night started growing, the house started cooling, it started making noises. And I'm hearing those noises, I'm scared. And it's getting late now, it's after 10 o'clock, and he said they won't be late, and I'm getting sleepy. I'm afraid to go to sleep. So I put my hand, we never were taught to pray like Muslims pray all over the world. The temple required us to do nothing but pray like this, like the Muslims make dua, not the salat, not the regular form of prayer. So I held my hand like this, and I said, and I thought. Because the only way I knew to see God was the picture of my father's teacher, who's called Faraz. His name is Faraz. So I'm seeing his face, and something stopped me. I said, oh Allah, if I'm not seeing you correctly, please help me see you correctly. And then I made my prayer. I didn't know how to see Allah. I didn't know how to see God. So then I made my prayer. That child who was taught to believe that way is now accepted in Saudi Arabia by the Supreme Council, by the Supreme Council of Mosques, and I'm a registered member there, which says that they think I'm legit. And that same child now has a gold medal, the highest honor bestowed upon a religious preacher. I have it at home from Egypt, given to me from Egypt. So whether I'm recognized by the many people, doesn't matter. These two high places of Islamic knowledge and respect have recognized me. So I think that's something you all should think about. I couldn't do that on my own or by myself. No way. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had no power to give me the mind and education and perception and direction that God has blessed me with. He had no power to do that. Not even his teacher had any power to do that. They only had prayers and hope. And their prayers and hope were answered. We thank God. But I'm not the only sign. There are so many in the Muslim world. And not only in the Muslim world, but also in the Christian world. There are signs, there are individuals that God has blessed because they had innocent hearts and minds and souls. God has blessed them to come to the pure way. They are from the various religions. To me, these are miracles of modern times. But not only that, but we look at history and see what happened in Russia. Two nations competing to be the leaders of the world. One with an idea that didn't respect the real God. Not that they all didn't believe in God. I'm sure many of the members of the Communist Party believed in God. But they didn't want to stand in the way of their program. They had their idea of dialectic materialism, that everything is based in matter and evolves upon matter, and they dismissed the idea of the supernatural, of the higher spiritual reality that we believe is really the reality, and this is only a reflection, not the real thing. So what God did, God showed us that he is with the one who acknowledges him and not with the one that dismisses him. They're going racing to reach the moon. We thought Russia was going to get there first. America got there first. Khrushchev said he's going to bury America. But Russia died in one lifetime. In one lifetime. Not in generational, in time of generation. Russia only lived about 70 years, and many of us lived that long. My father lived longer than 70 years. Died in one lifetime. The great, mighty, communist miracle turned out to be nothing but a fiasco. So to me, that's a miracle. God wants to show us who don't know. Man who can't know. God wants to show him. All right, if you didn't have me over you, if you didn't have church over you, if you didn't have the mosque over you, or the monastery, whatever, if you were free just to think on your own, you would not be successful, even with your material world. Now they base the idea in the material world. They base their concept of reality in the material world. And they fail to succeed with the material world. Economically, they collapsed. You tell me that's not a miracle in this time? I could write a book of scripture. I guarantee you it would be respected. And we might get some stronger believers than we got now that are reading the scripture we have now.
Be sure and join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.